Blog Talk Radio.
Girls, welcome to The Balance. We are back on Saturday morning. So glad that you guys could join us. Myself, Tom Marquez, and $2 Bill Josh is going to be breaking down all of the sports all across the sports arena. We've got MLB, we've got NFL, we've got racing. We've got it all for you right here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure that you give us a listen and make sure you give us a look on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. We got a lot to talk about today. We're waiting for $2 Bill Josh to join us. And when he joined us, we've got some really huge announcements to make today, and we're really excited about it. And I can tell you one thing: as the balance grows, I tell you what, it's getting better and better each and every week. So it is so good to have you along with us right here on the balance. We're waiting for $2 Bill Josh to give us a call in. As soon as he does, we'll get started with this show. Now, I tell you what, we've got, like I said, we've got a very, very, very huge announcement to make today, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. And really, I cannot tell you how exciting that it's going to be. And as soon as $2 Bill Josh gets on the line here with us, we're going to jump on there with that. Like I said, today we've got some MLB to talk about. A lot going on in the MLB, especially those of you that are following this whole Yankee A-Rod scenario. It's an episode off The Sopranos, and we're going to get into that. We're also going to talk some NFL. We got some fantasy football league coming up. So we're gonna talk all of that when we get back here, right here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio, back on Saturday morning. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. All right, and welcome back to The Balance. I tell you what, we are back on Saturday morning. It's so good to have you along. We are here. We are live, plus The Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. And join me right alongside me, as always, is the one and the only $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are we doing on a Saturday morning today?
I'm doing great on this kind of overcast but beautiful and not so hot Saturday morning.
I tell you what, I will take it any time compared to what we've had here in Indianapolis over the last month. Nothing but hot, hot, hot weather. And I'm going to tell you what, it's gotten really, really hot out there in the MLB arena. I tell you what, one of the things that are going on, and Josh, I know that you're really, really sad to see this going on with the Pinstripes. Not, but what I want to know is let's really talk about this whole A-Rod situation going into now. One of the things before you called in, Josh, I was talking about this huge announcement that we're going to make coming up here later on in the show, and it's an announcement that we're very excited to bring as part of the balance. One of the things I want to point out, you guys can download all of our archive shows off of iTunes, as well as go to www.thebalanceonline.com and hear all the archives as well. Now, one of the things you might have noticed, and you might have noticed some changes in the website and stuff, we are going through a complete facelift, and I tell you what, there's a lot of exciting things that we're wanting to talk about. But we're going to get right into the MLB, Josh. A-Rod, what's up with him? Is he part of an episode of The Sopranos or what? Is this a movie? What is going on with this guy? Is he the Lindsay Lohan of baseball? That's what I want to know.
Well, apparently there's been reports that he's been involved in some dealing of cocaine and some illegal poker playing. My question is, how come MLB Network is just taking some low-life thug from New York City at face value? There's a reason he's considered a low-life thug, and that's because he's probably not very honest. So unless they have any hard evidence, why is this even a story?
No, and I absolutely – you know what? Here's the thing. It's A-Rod. Come on now, guys. We do want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear you chime in on the whole A-Rod situation. Give us your thoughts. Is this just – come on now. We also – hey, you know what? We play poker on Wednesday nights, and me and the fellas get together. We have a few brews. We toss a few chips around. You know, that's one thing. But when you're talking about some very, very high-stakes gambling games with some very, very well-known gamblers stopping short of saying mafia, okay, I said it. It slipped out of my mouth. I apologize, guys. No, I'm not saying A-Rod's in the mafia. What I am saying is that he's playing cards with some pretty shaky people, the way I understand it. Some pretty high-stakes poker players that are pretty well known around New York City area and all across the nation. And the way I understand it also, A-Rod has kind of been in the organization as far as, hey, let's get this game together. And this isn't a $20 buy-in Texas Hold'em game. Let's make this very clear. This is a very, very high-stakes game. So we do want to hear you chime in, 917-889-8516. We'd love to hear your thoughts on A-Rod. I think we do have a caller. Hi, caller. Hi, you're on the balance. Who's this?
Hello.
Hello? Hi, who's this?
This is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, man.
Are you wanting to chime in on the A-Rod situation, or are you just wanting to listen, or?
No,
all right. Well, apparently we're having some difficulties with our caller there. Guys, when you call in, have your stuff ready, and we'll buzz you right on out of here. 917-889-8516. Josh, I tell you what. First of all, the big A-Rod poker story. That's where we're at right now. And I tell you what, if I had time to get that sound bite from Lady Gaga and Poker Face, Poker Face. Okay, not a very good rendition. But Josh, if the allegations are true, A-Rod's biggest problem is not that he was gambling, especially since if said gambling, if true, had nothing to do with baseball, that was apparently warned against these illegal gambling clubs before. And you gotta wonder, if he's just playing poker games, do we have another whole nother hero situation out there? Did I open up that can of worms, Josh? Yes, I did, Josh. Take it away, buddy. Break it down
for
us.
Well, Section 27, I believe, is Part B of the MLB rulebook. Well, and the only reason I know this rule is because of Pete Rose says that any form of illegal gambling, whether directly involved with baseball or not involved with baseball, if found guilty, punishment will constitute a lifetime ban from the game of baseball in any way, shape, or form. So, for A-Rod's sake, he had better hope it's not true.
Well, Absolutely, and I guess, you know, I grew up in the Pete Rose Cincinnati Reds era, and you know, I'm a Cardinal fan, and one of the reasons, and I've told this story before, but one of the reasons that I'm a Cardinal fan goes directly to the Cincinnati Reds and the Big Red Machine. And you know, I know there's a lot of Reds fans out there, and the Reds certainly have a good ball club, especially in the last couple of years. Although this year, we could get on a whole other topic of the Cincinnati Reds. But what I'm talking about is I remember an era when Pete Rose and Johnny Bench were the guys to watch in baseball. When I was a kid selling newspapers, won a contest to go to see the Cincinnati Reds, got to go down there during batting practice, and that was actually when you got to go on the field at certain times during batting practice. Of course, you can't do that anymore. I wanted to get my ball signed by Cincinnati Red players. Nobody would have anything to do with me. A Cardinal player, I still got this ball today, and it sits here in the Balance Studios, but I got it signed by all the Cardinal fans. That made me a diehard Cardinal fan. Now, that said, I remember the days of Pete Rose. Now, do we have another situation where this, even if he's not betting against the Yankees, or even if he's not betting against baseball, the powers that be in baseball do not, let me make this very, very, very clear. This is not like NFL. The powers that be in baseball do not like to be disobeyed, and especially a slap in the face as to what A-Rod apparently, allegedly, quote, unquote, has done. If they tell you to do something or not to do something and you disobey that, that is really considered disloyalty. And that's where I go back to the whole Pete Rose thing. Now, does he deserve to be a member of the Hall of Fame? Sure, absolutely. That's not what we're talking about right now. What we're talking about is A-Rod's blatant disregard for baseball and a slap in his face to not only baseball, but the Yankees and the fans of the Yankees, Josh.
I totally agree. I'll be anxious to see where the story goes. I'm kind of going to err on the side right now of he's innocent until proven guilty. It just doesn't seem like something he would do. He doesn't look
even,
like
even
a coach
if he is. Even if he is a Yankee?
Well, here's the thing about Yankees Red Sox. I mean, you were kind of talking about this last week. And ESPN and Fox News and MLB Network overblow this whole thing. Now, granted, the Yankees and Red Sox hate each other, but the Red Sox fans respect the Yankees, and the New York Yankee fans respect the Red Sox, because without the other, we didn't have the Yankees, we're not the Sox. If they didn't have the Sox, we're not the Yankees.
Right. And you're right. And it all goes back to – and here's my thing. And it could happen at a more inappropriate time for you, Josh. I mean, Yankees are now number one. They push Boston down. And then we've got this whole thing with A-Rod. I just cannot get over. I cannot get over A-Rod's blatant disregard for, hey, you know, and the way I understand it, his teammates basically took him out to dinner one night and did an intervention and said, hey, A-Rod, come on, snap out of it, buddy. Apparently he gave some face talk and said, oh, I absolutely will do that. You guys don't have anything else to worry about. Well, here we are again with A-Rod yet again doing exactly the same thing. Does he have a gambling problem? Does he need to go to Gambling Anonymous? I mean, come on, let's look at this scenario. Is A-Rod good for baseball? That's what I want to know, and I want to hear your thoughts. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. Is A-Rod good for baseball, Josh? Yes or no?
Yes, he's good for baseball as far as he's one of the 15 probably greatest of all time. If you look at his numbers, by the time it's all said and done, he's going to have some monster numbers. He's a generally well-liked guy. But no, his distraction couldn't come at a better time for the Red Sox. It couldn't come at a worse time for the Yankees, because they're in Fenway this week. Now, maybe they won last night's game. Hats off to him for winning the 3-2 game. Mariano Rivera went 1-2-3 in the bottom of the ninth. But it couldn't come at a worse time for the Yankees or a better time for the Sox.
Well, I couldn't agree with you anymore. Well, that's it. We've only got a certain amount of time left. We do want to hear your comments. Give us a comment. And I tell you what, we got a brand new freaking, can I use that word? We got a brand new freaking email, guys. Brand new freaking email at comments@thebalanceonline.com. Give us your comments. We want to hear what you're saying about A-Rod. In fact, we want to hear what you're saying about myself and $2 Bill Josh and The Balance. It's always great to hear from the fans, because that's what we're here for, the fans. Now, here's something else going on. going on in the MLB? Yesterday, bitches, I didn't say bitches, I said benches, Josh. What do you mean? Benches, clear. Did I just say that, Josh? Really? Did I just say that? All I can tell you is I've had too much coffee this morning already. Anyway, Shane Victorino, thought reliever Ramirez hit him on purpose, and the Phillies manager Charlie Manuel saw it that way too, and it was on. It was on like Donkey Kong. Josh, did you happen to see that fight last night in the sixth inning out there in the victory over San Francisco on Friday night? It happened in the sixth inning. The Philadelphia's win, a 9-2 victory over San Francisco. Benches clear. I said benches clear. Always good to see a good bench-clearing brawl in baseball, Josh.
I would agree. They're the last two defending World Series champions. The Giants won it in 10. The Phillies won it in 9. The Phillies lead their division. The Giants lead their division. They're clearly the two best teams in the National League. No offense to the Brewers or the Cardinals, who would love to put themselves in the discussion, but at this time just can't. I fully expect them to meet in the National League Championship Series. So even though that series is going to take place in Philadelphia in the cold after that brawl, you got to think it's going to be a hot night in Philly in October.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I want to make sure that we get in real quickly is, the standings of what's going on. We talked about the American League East. Obviously, moving into first place is the New York Yankees. Over in the Central, Detroit, the Tigers are now number one ahead of Cleveland. We're seeing a lot of switcheroo on this. We've talked about, we don't have a lot of time to get into the AAA teams, but we certainly have talked about how these AAA teams, the Toledo Mud Hens and the Columbus Clippers, have fed into the Cleveland Indians and Detroit Tigers. Also, the Rangers are first over there, number one, ahead of the Angels. Over in the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies are now number one above the Braves. And my favorite division, the National League Central, my St. Louis Cardinals have moved down to second. But what's more exciting to watch right now is the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they are down just at number three, and they're just a little bit back, and they can still pull themselves out. But I've said it before right here on this show, the Milwaukee Brewers are the team to watch there in the National League Central. Over there in the West, we were just talking about that San Francisco game, pulling ahead there in Arizona. Now, also, I do know, and I don't have my notes right here, Josh. You might know the player that got hit in with a line drive in the head or the neck yesterday. Was that in Arizona? Do you happen to have that information right there?
It was in Arizona, but I don't happen to remember the player's name, but it was definitely
okay.
A scary incident.
We'll get that on there. We'll get that on the website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Real quickly, Josh, Indianapolis Indians tonight have a big star in the outfield. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we got to jump into a break.
Well, he's starting left fielder, I believe, for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Jose Tabata is beginning a minor league rehab assignment. I expect him to be in Indianapolis no longer than 7 to 10 games.
Okay. Well, guys, I tell you what, we got to take a break. And when we get back, I've been talking about this huge, huge announcement. When we get back, that's right around the corner. We're going to make an announcement that will knock your socks off right here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. All right, and welcome back to Ballast, boys and girls. We're right here. My name's Tom Marquis. Right alongside me is the one, the only $2 bill, Josh. And I tell you what, we've got some exciting things coming up. And right up here in the second segment, we've got Gary Snyder calling in from the Gary Snyder Show. He's going to call in. We're going to talk a little bit about some Colts football. So we're excited to always hear from Gary. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Indianapolis Colts and the NFL coming up in the second segment. Now, it's been great, guys. I tell you what, those of you that really follow the balance are groupies out there. No. Hey, they've been going through some changes lately. What's going on over there? Well, I'll tell you what, it's really been exciting. We've got together, we've kind of trimmed the fat, if you will. We've just basically what we're starting to do is mold into a show that was developed from input from you, our fans. Absolutely our fans. We could not be right here on top of the Plush Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, if it wasn't for you, our fans. And one of the things that we're doing is we're doing a transition of the balance. We're still going to be that great balance show that you've come to know and love and adore. But one of the things that we are doing is we are just metamorphosizing. That is way too big of a word for a Saturday morning, Josh. But one of the things that we want to make big announcements. Drum roll, please, that we are now back on Saturday morning, as you know very well. We're going to be right here every Saturday morning on Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, as well as on our website, and across the World Wide Web, all across the United States, and all across the world. Well, I tell you what, I'm ready for this big announcement. Josh, envelope, please. Josh, open up the envelope. What does it say?
Well, after a lot of input from our fans and a lot of discussion over the past couple of weeks between me and Tom, I'm going to call this show My Brainchild, My Baby, in 2 weeks.
So on if it fails, Josh, it was all – I'm saying it now. If this fails, it's all Josh's fault. Actually, I'm kidding. I would not be behind this 100% if I thought for a moment that it would fail. But go ahead, Josh.
Saturday, August the 20th at 9 a.m., we're going to launch the Balance Gridiron today. It's going to be nothing but college and NFL football on a weekly basis from 9 to 10. We'll be your college football preview. We're going to talk Heisman. We're going to talk top 25. We're going to talk about who's hot, who's not, the Big Ten, must-see games of the day. I'm going to give you my upset pick of the day. If Tom wants, he can give you his upset pick of the day. From 10 to 10:30. Maybe 10:45. It's going to be fantasy football huddle. After all, that is what we're known for, Tom. And then from 10:45 to 11 will be pick day for the NFL. And this year, we're going to keep track of our picks throughout the entire season. Hopefully each week we can come up with a guest who'll make picks for the week. And at the end of the season, somebody gets a trophy, and we haven't figured out what the loser's going to get yet.
Well, the loser is going to have to buy the trophy. Well, one of the things is really we're really excited about, we have this every year, is the Balance Fantasy Football League. And we want you, the listener, to be a part of this. Now, we have a really exciting time. We get together at BW3s, have a draft night. Now, you don't have to be there necessarily to be a part of draft. Now, we'll tell you one thing. Just because we're buying that trophy and all this other stuff, there's a $20 buy-in. And once you get into the league, everybody gets money back in the first three positions. So, basically, there's a $20 buy-in. You get in to the show. And plus, we'll have different – during Fantasy Football Huddle, you'll be able to call in and be on the radio show. It's going to be really cool. We do this every year. Now, one of the things that we want to make a point of, we're still going to be the balance covering sports. I mean, we're still here doing what it is that we do. That's not changed. But just like everything else in sports, it has seasons. And we as the balance want to merge – to a point of having seasons. That's not to say that other sports aren't more pressing or whatever, but we are going to collectively put seasons together. And we're going to launch this with our Gridiron look. And our Gridiron, it's called Gridiron Today. It's still going to be the balance right here at Blog Talk Radio, 9 to 11, Saturday mornings. Me and myself and Josh, and we'll certainly have all kinds of guests that'll call in, and we'll be able to pick their brains on what's going on in that particular sport of the day. But we just want to make sure that we give ample coverage to the seasons, if you will. And we're moving into that football season, so we just thought it was fitting that we just put it together. Again, Josh, that's August the 20th, correct?
Yeah. Yes, August the 20th at 9 o'clock. And don't forget, we're still going to have our daily wrap-up. We're still going to cover our other sports. And most of the coverage of other sports is going to be on the daily wrap-up, so we can keep the Gridiron Today to as much football as possible, unless there's a breaking news. We'll tend to only cover the other sports during the daily wrap-ups.
And that's absolutely correct, Josh. I'm glad you made that point, because we want to make sure that we don't let people know that we are moving away from what we've already established. We're just making what we've already established better. So now when football season's over, we're going to move into a different season, and more than likely that'll be basketball, if we have basketball. If not, we're just going to have to cover that as we move forward. And I know that Josh and I are really looking forward to covering football. We've got a lot of exciting things in and around the Gridiron Today. I guess that's where I'm getting at. Josh, real quickly, I know you've been working real hard on putting this show together. Just give us some teasers of what's to come up on August the 20th. What can they expect when they tune in here?
August the 20th is going to be our college football preview. It's going to be nothing but college football. And then the 27th will be NFL football preview. On the 27th, I'm going to reveal the Balance's top 25. The Balance's BCS bowl projections. We're going to cover every team in the Big Ten, every in-state team. And I'm going to tell you who the first coach that's going to get fired this year is going to be and why. And I'm also going to tell you who's going to win the BCS National Championship. And just a hint, they reside in the state of Indiana.
Okay. Well, there you go, guys. And we can't give away all the information, but one of the things you want to make sure that you're doing is lock in and save your homepage here. Get on the Balance. Be a part of the Balance. Go to our fan page on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, search the Balance. It's right there. You cannot miss us. And we're just going to be covering college football Gridiron. The Gridiron is here, guys. We're so excited to have football back. I tell you what, we were sweating bullets there for a little bit. We didn't know what kind of a show we were going to have for you this fall. But thank you, NFL, for putting things together and getting it all together for us. Now, we're going to be coming up here in the second segment. As we know, training camp has started. And in Anderson, Indiana, at Anderson University, the Indianapolis Colts are there. Peyton Manning has had some sightings. So we're going to make sure that we get into that, and we're really going to dissect that and break that down. In our next segment here, in our second segment of the show, we're going to break down. We got Gary Snyder calling in from the Gary Snyder Show, a great show he has, and I always enjoy talking to Gary. And Gary, and he might tell this story, but he almost didn't get his credentials for the Colts camp for stepping on Peyton Manning's foot last year. No. It that is kind of funny, but anyway, so he's going to be joining us around the Gary Snyder Show. He's going to be joining us around the 9:30 mark or so, right here in the second segment, and we're going to be talking, about his show, what the Gary Snyder Show is. And Gary Snyder Show is a good show, and they are all over the nation as well. And they don't just do sports; they do a lot of things with pop culture and so forth. But we're going to be talking about the Colts, and we're going to be talking about the Indianapolis Colts. We're also going to be talking about NFL across the board. Now, one of the things I want to let you guys know: we're based here in Indianapolis, so the Colts is kind of a natural trend for us. But we want to talk about whatever team that you have available or want to talk about. We know that we're not the only team out there. We realize that there are a lot of other teams out there besides the Indianapolis Colts. So we are going to make sure that we do that. When we get back, we're gonna really dive into this second part of the show. We're going to have Gary Snyder on from the Gary Snyder Show, and we're going to just really break down the Indianapolis Colts, and we're going to break down what's to come in the NFL season. Real quickly, Josh, what are some of the things that we're going to be talking about here in the second segment with the NFL?
The Colts being in camp, the Philadelphia Eagles becoming the All-Pro team. I'm anxious to hear Gary Snyder's story about stepping on Peyton Manning's foot. Hopefully that had nothing to do with his neck injury, as well as what we can expect in NFL.
All right, we'll be right back right here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio with the second half of our show. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on The Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Yeah, all right, boys and girls, we're back! We're back right here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio. Alongside with me is $2 Bill Josh, the man, the only. We're breaking out into the NFL. Guys, it is here. There is no more lockout. The Colts are in training camp. Training camp's going on all across the NFL. Josh, real quickly, what's going on in this segment before we jump into the Indianapolis Colts?
We're going to talk about different teams being in training camp. Tonight's a Hall of Fame induction ceremony. The first true Indianapolis Colt being inducted is Marshall Faulk. Also, the Eagles are signing just about anybody who hits the free agent market. Randy Moss is retired. Rex Ryan has a new tattoo.
Rex Ryan has a new tattoo? Well, do tell. Do expand on the new tattoo.
On his left calf, he has a Hawaiian symbol. I'm not quite sure how to describe it, but anyway, the meaning behind it is believe in yourself. And Rex Ryan being Rex Ryan, doing what he does best, and it's absolutely sheer genius, has already talked about going to the Super Bowl and hosting holding the trophy and hosting the parade in New York, and is already getting the media talking about him and not his players, which I think is sheer genius, even though it irritates me because I'm a Colts fan.
All right. Well, speaking of the Colts, they are in camp out at Anderson, Indiana, at the Anderson University. And right on the line with us now is Mr. Gary Snyder. Gary, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing excellent. And yourself?
We're doing fantastic. You know what? We couldn't help but share with our listeners what you shared with me on your show a few weeks ago about how you stepped on the foot of Peyton Manning. So, you know what? The TMZ in me comes out. We got to know the story. How'd that come about?
All right, we go to camp last year, and for the record, I have not been this year. I did get my credentials. I was a little concerned, maybe thinking that they remember last year's Peyton Manning foot incident, but they came. But if you've ever been to Colts camp, it's not a very exciting place. They yell at you. They tell you, no, stop taking pictures. It's just not a very fun place to be. The best part's obviously the interviews afterwards. So, I was about ready to head down this morning, and I thought I could probably do something more, a little more, fun and sit around and watch like Phineas and Ferb.
There we go. Now tell us a little bit about the Gary Snyder Show. What it is that you guys do. I know you guys cover a lot of sports here in Indiana, but you also cover a lot of national stuff, pop culture, and so forth. And you guys have a lot of different topics, to say the least. We won't get into your special brownie conversation that we had on your show a few weeks ago, or the parachute pants. So it goes a lot deeper than that. So tell us a little bit about Gary Snyder's show and where they can find you at.
Well, let's do the Peyton Manning story first before I forget,
okay,
since it's fresh in my
all
mind.
Right.
After each practice, the staff of the Colts bring players that you request up to the press area, and at that point you get to ask all these questions, and you know, it's always the same stale question, the same stale answer. You know, they're all canned. But anyway, I was kind of off by myself getting ready to leave, and then another cart pulls up and stops right beside me, and Peyton Manning gets out. And for those of you who have never seen or been next to Peyton Manning, he is the real deal. A lot of these players like Dwight Freeney, Reggie Wayne, you see them, and you see him play on the field, and you look at him, and you're like, well, God, I'm bigger than he is. Although, you know, he's probably eight times faster than me. But Peyton Manning is the real deal. I mean, he's all of the 6'5", and just a real stout person. So I'm the first one there. I say hi, introduce myself. Very nice guy. And then about that time, the rest of the press corps that had been over talking to the other players realized that Peyton Manning's there. So it's the stampede starts. So just as we're getting ready to interview him, I'm the first one there, and I record all my interviews on my iPhone.
Uh-huh.
So just as I get ready to ask a question, you know, I'm sure it was Bob Kravitz, I'm not for sure, but bumped me in the back, and I kind of lunged forward a little bit and stepped right on his foot. And he pulled it back real quick. I apologized. And I was waiting for security to tackle me and throw me out, but that never happened. So I asked the first question. We're talking, and about that time, my wife calls me on my iPhone as I have it right up to Peyton's mouth. So I reach my fat thumb up there to hit decline, and I accidentally hit accept, and the fat part of my thumb hit speaker. So now my wife is yelling in Peyton Manning's ear, Gary, are you there? Gary, are you there? So I pull it down real quick and you know, get everything fixed on the iPhone and start recording. And after the interview is over, on my way out, I called my wife back and she's like, who in the hell was I talking to? Who was talking to me in the phone? Who was on your phone? And I'm like, well, you were talking to Peyton Manning.
I tell you what, that's got to be grounds for divorce, Gary. I'm just saying, that's biblical grounds for divorce right now.
No, it was my fault. It was my fault. You know, if there's one thing that I've learned over the years, is declining my wife's call is not a good thing. So I probably should have just taken it to begin with.
Absolutely. I've got one of those at home myself as well. Now, Josh, I know you're with us here as well. Josh, what I want you to do is let's get into the Indianapolis Colts. Colts signed some really key free agents, I think they signed some big players. Josh, any questions that you have for Gary? Let's talk about the Colts and what's going on up here in the upcoming season, Josh.
Well, this week they signed linebacker Ernie Sims, defensive tackle Tommy Harris, and defensive end Jamal Anderson. And I guess my question would be for you, Gary, as well as for Chris Polian, why? You could argue that with the exception of Tommy Harris, that Ernie Sims and Jamal Anderson, who are former first-round picks, have been bust. So what is it that Chris Polian thinks Caldwell can do to turn them into actual players?
You know, my guess is that the Colts probably don't have the strongest linebacking core in the NFL. He probably brought these guys in, to secure up the roster, because if you've looked in the past, the Colts have let's just say, been very injury prone at the linebacker core. So my guess is these they were brought in to not only solidify, you know, the starting lineup, but to add some depth just in case, because as you know, the Colts linebacking core in the past has not been the greatest and have been very injury prone. And that's probably why they brought him in, probably to provide some of that veteran experience here. While we have Gary Brackett, you know, our other linebackers, you know, probably aren't the leaders that Bill, or Caldwell wants them to be. So that's probably the two reasons they came in.
Now, my question here is about Joseph Addai. Now, I like Addai. I said this on your show. I said this on our show here. I think Addai is a great pickup. Now, I know Josh disagrees with me. What are your thoughts about Joseph Addai? And I think that the Colts have been trying to replace Marshall Faulk ever since he left. And, you know, that goes back to Edgerrin James. And Edgerrin James was all of that at first, kind of faded away. Then along comes Addai, and it kind of seems like maybe he's not quite there. But when he's there, he's there. What do you think about this whole Joseph Addai pickup, Gary?
You know,
or
I like it.
I should say
I like it. When you look at the Colts, and when the Colts have done their best, it's when they have at least some semblance of a running game. If you have Peyton back there throwing it 50 times a game, you know, that's not necessarily a good thing. When you look at their Super Bowl run, the reason they came back in that second half against New England was because they had fresh running backs. So when you throw Joseph Addai into the mix with Ronald Brown and you know, I think Dominic Rhodes is still in camp. That I don't know. But if another piece provides some relief, you have a 2-3-headed monster back there that you can just keep throwing fresh guys in. As that defense wears down in the third and fourth quarter, you have some fresh legs in there. That's got to be, you know, a positive for the offense.
Right. And we're talking to Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show, the one, the only, the Gary Snyder Show. If you guys have a question for Gary about the Colts or anything else for that matter, a pair of sheep pants, special brownies, anything, 917-889-8516 the number to get to us. Josh, I know that you have some concerns about some of the pickups that we have, but also you like some of the pickups that we have. So Josh, what do you think, Josh, what is your question for Gary as far as what needs to be done with the Colts this year?
Okay, so for the last 2 years, this is going to be Curtis Painter's third year. He's been the backup quarterback to Peyton Manning. But they signed Nate Davis out of Ball State University. They signed Mike Hartline from Kentucky. They signed Orvesky from the Detroit Lions. Do any of those guys, do you think, have A, the potential to get Curtis Painter cut, and B, have the potential to maybe be start being groomed to be the heir replacement?
You know, I have the talent to get Curtis Painter cut. The problem, Curtis Painter is not the heir apparent at quarterback. I like Nate Davis being a Ball State guy. You know, playing at Ball State in the early or the mid '80s. I like Nate Davis. Brady Hoke did a great job with him, and at Ball State, and bringing him in, I think is he could be a solid backup to Peyton Manning. Now, when it comes down to it, none of these guys they've brought in are the heir apparent. They're going to have to, at some point, either draft, move up in the draft, and get one of these marquee quarterbacks coming out of college, or, you know, go to the free agent market and get someone that hasn't been in the league very long and start getting him under Peyton's wing and learning what Peyton has to offer. Unfortunately, if Peyton goes down, the Colts are done, period. You know, Curtis Painter, Nate, no one can do what Peyton Manning does on the field. And if Peyton Manning goes down, you know, it's kind of like having sex with Kobe Bryant. You can fight it all you want, but it's going to happen at some point, and that would be the end of the Colts season.
I absolutely agree. Now, here's one of the things. We saw in camp, we saw Peyton Manning's been out there making some throws and some pretty good throws as it is. How is Peyton's neck? Do we expect him to continue with his streak of consecutive starts in regular season, or do you think this is the year where we're going to kind of start to see him feel the effects of playing so long in the NFL and never getting a rest?
You know, at some point that's got to wear on you. I think Peyton Manning will be ready to go on day one of the regular season. The problem is when you go back a couple years, when he did not get that preseason in with his knee injury, he was very rusty, to say the least, at the start of the season and came on towards the end of the season. If he doesn't get his reps in practice and in camp and in the preseason, you may see a little bit of that rustiness at the beginning of the regular season. And in the NFL, if you're not on your game every game, it's an L and not a W. It goes in the L column. And I'm afraid that's what the Colts may experience, at least at the start of the season, especially with some of the offensive line, I don't want to call them troubles, but at least question marks. And if you don't have that line solidified, if that line is not playing its best, you know, and Peyton Manning keeps taking these hits, it could be a very long season for the Colts. And, you know, Peyton Manning's no spring chicken. You know, a few more hits than he took last year, that could mean some time on the sideline and seeing either a Curtis Painter or Nate Davis, and we really don't want that.
How long do you honestly think, of course nobody knows, but how long do you honestly think that Peyton Manning has left in the NFL?
Well, he signed a 5-year contract. That puts him at 40. You know, I would have to say there's a chance, depending on his health, that he could finish out that contract. Mm-hmm. But, you know, realistically, you might be looking at 2 to 4 years of that.
So we're looking at 2 to 4 years, and Josh, I want you to chime in on this as well, but we're looking at 2 to 4 years of his 5-year contract, of this big, huge $90 million contract.
Keep in mind, Tom, most of that is front-loaded. He gets $63 million of that over the first 3 years.
Right. So my question is, we were just talking about the heir apparent to Peyton Manning and who that could be and who that could possibly be. So my question is, it's not too early for next year's draft, especially to learn the complex system that the Colts have. It's not too early to draft a quarterback right out of college to learn this system so that in 2 to 3 years he's ready to take over the throne. Don't you guys agree? Josh?
I would absolutely agree with you, Tom. I would like to see the Colts. Now, this isn't going to happen. We already know the Colts aren't going to do this. But maybe by some slim chance, we'll trade up. And there's a great quarterback out at Stanford University. He looks a lot like John Elway, somewhat resembles Peyton Manning. Andrew Luck would be a great pick. Either the Colts are going to have to trade up, or we're going to have to be awful this year to have a chance at him. Do you think, Gary, there's any chance we'd consider trading up to draft Luck?
You know, I saw him play last year up at Notre Dame and watched the entire game from the sidelines. And this guy's the real deal. He's going to be the most sought-after quarterback probably since Peyton Manning when he comes out next year and would be a great understudy and heir apparent for the Colts. Apparently, unfortunately, right now, the heir apparent to Peyton Manning plays either in Detroit or St. Louis, and that's not good for us.
Right. I absolutely agree. Well, guys, we've got to jump into a break. When we get back, we're going to really break down the NFL and what's to happen here in the 2011 season of the NFL. Mr. Snyder, can you stay around with us?
Of course.
All right. We'll be right back. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. All right, kiddos, welcome back to the Balance. Hiya Plus, the Hiya Plus Studios here in the Villas at Indianapolis, Indiana. It is the Balance. And guys, we are so glad to have you back on Saturday morning. We're going to be doing this thing called the Balance every Saturday morning between 9 and 11. As we made an announcement earlier, we are actually transitioning to a more season-defined program, Josh. And I know we've got the huge, huge debut of College Gridiron, the Balance Gridiron today. We're just going to be talking about NFL and college football. Of course, we've got the Fantasy Football Huddle that's also coming back. Josh, we're really excited about that, are we not?
Yes, we're really super excited about that, as well as this just entire upcoming football season.
That's right, and that brings us to the next part of this segment. And right along with us is Mr. Gary Snyder of The Gary Snyder Show, who you never know what's going to come out of his show, but I tell you what, it's always entertaining to listen to his show. Gary, tell us a little bit about your show. How can they listen to your show, and what can they expect or not expect, I should say? I'm just kidding.
Well, you expect the unexpected on my show. I'm on 1400 WBAT out of Marion. We're on weekdays 3 to 6. And we're kind of the tagline where politics, sports, and pop culture collide. We started off just talking politics. I found out that gets a lot of people hating you really quick. And I found that if you talk a little bit of sports, you get these really cool things called credentials. So like Notre Dame and Purdue and the Colts and all these really cool sporting events. So, you know, we're basically just talking sports so I can go to these events for free. And then we throw a little pop culture in to the mix, too. So it's a lot of fun. You can find us at GarySnyderShow.com. We're on 1400 WBAT out of Marion. Weekdays from 3 to 6, it's got a pretty good signal. So if you're around the Kokomo, all the way down to the Tipton area, Anderson, Muncie, you can catch us. If you want to listen online, you can do that, too. Just go to WBAT.com and click the little link that says click here to listen online. If you can't find it, then you probably have bigger issues than listening to me talk about sports, politics, and pop culture.
There you go. Well, that's Gary Snyder of The Gary Snyder Show. We're talking NFL here on The Balance, and it is the NFL lockout is over. I am done hearing about the lockout. Flush the devil toilet. It's gone. Let's talk about it in the archives at a different time, at a different place. What I want to talk about is the upcoming 2011 season. There's some really good things going on. One of the things really real quickly I want to touch on is the Hall of Fame. We kind of talked about that a little bit with Marshall Faulk. What a great humbling experience it is for Marshall Faulk, Gary, and Josh to be a part of the 2011 class of the NFL Hall of Fame. Josh or Gary?
I would agree with you, Tom. She's the first true Indianapolis Colts player, I guess you could say, that's going into the Hall of Fame. But here's somebody who's not getting enough credit. What about Ed Sable? What about the guy who created NFL films? He totally redid how we view NFL football. There's a good chance. Now, without Ed Sable, we don't sit down on a Sunday afternoon, turn on CBS, Fox, depending on which station your favorite team plays on, and watch it. They certainly want to beat NFL Network. So I think he may be the most influential guy going into the Hall of Fame tonight.
You know, and that's a very good point, Joe. Go ahead, Gary. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
I agree. You know, as a child, as a kid, and growing up, watching inside the NFL and all that great footage you get from NFL films, it's just awesome. And you know, that's helped build the NFL brand to what it is today.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, it's kind of like, for those of you that are familiar with the Indianapolis 500, that voice, Tom Carnegie's voice, is the same type of voice that you got with NFL films. And I really, really, really enjoyed it watching that. And I know they have the new and improved NFL films, but nothing replaces the classic. So very much a well-deserving recipient into the NFL Hall of Fame. He may not be the best-known individual to receive an induction to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but like you said, Gary and Josh, undoubtedly, everybody knows NFL films. Everybody knows what he did for the game of football, and I'm ecstatic to see him a part of the 2011 class as well. Now,
let me add this real quick, Tom. Mm-hmm. One of the nice things about NFL films and what you get from that those people at NFL Films is they still shoot this stuff on the 8mm film. I mean, if you go back and watch the Colts Super Bowl from a couple years ago, they had a behind the scenes of the NFL film shooting the Super Bowl, and they would finish a reel of tape and rush it back to the trailer real quick and start editing. And they still shoot that stuff on 8mm film. So that is really cool.
That is really cool, and especially for us broadcast geeks like myself and you, Gary, that really know the old way things used to be done, and they don't shoot film like that anymore. People don't even know the old radio mixer, the knob faders, the pod faders. I don't think anybody even knows in radio what a cart is anymore, do they? So you're right. You're right. It is good to see all of those films and to bring that up. But let's jump into the 2011 season across the NFL. And I know there's a lot of things going on. I mean, is Brett Favre coming back? Is he back or not? Do we know that to be fact, guys?
I have no clue. All I keep reading are the rumors that he may be coming back. First, as everybody thought it was as an Eagle, and who knows? Now I think it's Miami. I don't know, and really don't care. You know, he should have quit a couple years ago while he was still had the mystique of Brett Favre.
I absolutely 100% agree, Josh. Let's talk about some of the things that are going on in camps across the league. Josh, can you bring us a camp update, a letter from camp?
Well, the Colts are in camp, and apparently, Tom, you and Reggie Wayne drank the same Kool-Aid, because I read in the Indianapolis Star the other day, and Reggie Wayne's confirmed he made the statement, that Curtis Painter has the chance to be a superstar quarterback. Was he high? Was he gambling with Alex Rodriguez? Is that what was going on when Reggie Wayne said that, or was he just trying to get the guy some confidence?
I don't know. I don't see where all the hate to Curtis Painter is. Again, he's not going to be – we've already established he's not going to be the heir apparent to the throne. But let's face it, Curtis Painter is a very good quarterback, and he has some very good numbers. He has some very good, solid, consistent numbers. Is he Peyton Manning? No. Is he Aaron Rodgers? No. Is he Phillip Rivers? No. But is he a good quarterback? Absolutely. Absolutely a good quarterback. Should he play here in the NFL? Absolutely. So, I don't see where all the hate is to Curtis Painter.
I would have to disagree with you, Tom. The only number, and Gary Binger may not agree with this statement, the only number and the only thing Curtis Painter is consistent at is turning the ball over before he crossed the midfield.
Gary, chime in.
I would agree with that. Well, I think a lot of the hype around his inability to play is probably a little overblown. You're never as bad as someone says, and you're never as good as someone says, unless, of course, you are Peyton Manning. But, you know, when he was out there most of the time making these turnovers, and a lot of them were self-inflicted, but you got to keep in mind, he was playing mop-up time. He was playing a lot of times with the second and third stringers. And it's really unfair to judge him based on those performances with the people that he had surrounding him in a backup role. Is he as bad as we make him out to be? Of course not. You have to be a good quarterback to make it in the NFL. But he does have the cushiest job in the NFL. And I think what bothers me the most is that deer in the headlight look he gets when he gets into the game. And until you can get over that psychologically, you're going to continue to be the Curtis Painter that sucks instead of the up-and-coming Curtis Painter.
Well, I tell you what, we want to make sure that we get into some of these other teams. So Josh, what I want you to do is just kind of let's look at some of the NFC teams, the AFC teams. Let's look at the strong teams that are out there. I mean, obviously Green Bay is going to come back being strong. We've got the Giants, who I think are going to be a very good team this year. And there's a lot of shaking and baking with some good quarterbacks, some big name quarterbacks moving around, some big name free agents moving around. So let's kind of dive into what kind of season, what kind of teams can we look for to emerge as a great team, and what are some of the sleeper players when we're talking about fantasy football? What are some of the sleeper players that people can look at when they're starting to prepare their draft for their fantasy football, Josh?
I think Tom remembers this from last year. You definitely got to start with Michael Vick. Going into last year, well, not a lot of people thought he could throw the football, but apparently when he was in jail, he read a book on how to throw the football. He got bored and he threw the football all day long in his jail cell. Or not quite sure how that came about. So he's a sleeper pick, although he may not really be considered a sleeper pick anymore. I'm going to say Sam Bradford's going to have a huge year. And Matt Stafford in Detroit could ever stay healthy. He could put up some numbers. I think Matt Hasselbeck's going to have decent numbers in Tennessee. And I'm going to say that Jim Harbaugh is the perfect guy to get Alex Smith finally to realize his potential. And look for Alex Smith to throw for 20, 25 touchdowns this year at the 49ers.
Gary, what are your thoughts on who to look for this year in the 2011 season?
Well, I think what Josh mentioned, all of them are going to probably do very well, whether it comes to leading their team or fantasy numbers. You know, the interesting thing that I'm going to watch is New England, because number one, I hate them. And when I say I hate them, I really mean I hate them.
You hate them?
I hate them. When you look at the Patriots and the mind that is Bill Belichick, they sign Albert Haynesworth. They sign, that other wide receiver. I'm not even going to say his name. Ocho Cinco. Maybe when Ocho Cinco scores his first touchdown and does his first dance of the year, he can look over at the opposing sideline and act like he's doing the NFL Films thing and like he's recording their sideline. But to me, New England could either be a bust or they could be Super Bowl bound. And trust me, I am hoping for a bust. But if they can get Albert Haynesworth to play like he did a couple years ago before he had that that retirement I'll play when I feel like it in Washington, and Chad Ocho Cinco can maybe get back to the Ocho Cinco of a couple years ago, you know, they could be a team that could be probably the class of the AFC. But, you know, it's my thought is Ocho Cinco, it probably wasn't all of Carson Palmer's fault down in Cincinnati. I think he's probably half the receiver that he was, and I think most of the league will find that out this year.
All right. Well, one of the things I want to do real quickly here is, I know it's a little ways off, but one of the great things about Thanksgiving is not only turkey, but football. I want to break down Thanksgiving Day's schedule. And, you know, it's always good to have some good games on Thanksgiving and to watch those games. Guys, I honestly think that Detroit has an opportunity for once, and I'm going to make this call early, so that when we have this show around Thanksgiving, I could go back and say, hey, I called it. I think Detroit beats Green Bay on Thanksgiving. Josh, what are your thoughts? That's a great matchup, Detroit and Green Bay on Thanksgiving.
I do think Detroit has a chance to beat Green Bay, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. After looking at the roster, after looking at everything, the players Detroit has, the coaching staff they have, what's going on with the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings. The Packers are going to win the division, but the Detroit Lions are going to take one of the NFC wild cards just because the division is going to turn out to be that weak.
What do you think, Gary?
I like Detroit this year. You know, they're a younger team. They were in a lot of games last year. They should have won. And to be honest, you know, the game where, I guess, the new tuck rule, if you will, where you have to the receiver set the ball on the ground on his way up, you know, they've got a lot of confidence going into this year, and Detroit could be a team to be reckoned with. And if you get a couple of injuries or maybe a couple of these free agent signings away from Green Bay, Detroit could be the talk of the NFC North.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking to Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show. Gary, we're going to jump into the second hour and shift gears. We thank you so much for joining us today. Gary, tell us real quickly again how they can listen to you and what's coming up this next week for you on the Gary Snyder Show.
Well, this next week, again, you can find us on 1400 AM WBAT out of Marion or at GarySnyderShow.com. If you want to listen online, it's at WBAT.com. Obviously, politics will probably dominate a good portion of the week due to the S&P downgrading our debt. So we'll have a lot of callers and a lot of talk about that. And our show on Monday, we'll talk a little NASCAR, which I really hate to do, but he's a friend, so I have to let him do it anyway. And we have Abby Phillip from Politico.com. She gives us a call weekly from literally the basement of the White House. So
Wow.
It should be an interesting talk with politics and debt fiascos ruining the day here probably this week.
Well, there you have it. Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show. You never know what to expect. Like he said, you can expect the unexpected. Gary, you're always welcome here on The Balance. We'll be right back here on Blog Talk Radio. Myself and $2 Bill Josh are going to jump into hour number two. We have The Balance.
Get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at, and you find out if you do that.
It's time to start.
Of The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. Your good, faithful, and loyal host. Although I don't do dishes, I do a heck of a mean steak. Mr. $2 Bill Josh is right along with us. Hour number two, what do we got, buddy?
We're going to talk some NASCAR, some IndyCar, and as far as Tom making a good steak, I don't know, but I know he makes a good bratwurst.
The hot tub and everything. For those of you that have never had a Tom Brat, I'm just going to tell you, I have one heck of a mean sausage. Let me tell you that. Absolutely. Hey, guys, it's been great. It's so exciting to be back here on Saturday morning on Blog Talk Radio. So good that y'all can join us. Make sure that you go to our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Keep in mind, we are going through a facelift, as we made earlier, that we're making some changes and some tweaking and some tickling here, a little salt here, a little pepper there. But I promise you in the end, it's going to be the same great tasting show you have always had. Josh, what's with the food metaphors today? Maybe I should have ate some breakfast before the show today. I did have a banana, though, and a cup of coffee. And it was so good to have Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show. Guys, check him out. I'll tell you what, he has got a very, very entertaining show. And he is a lot of fun. Check him out, Gary Snyder Show. You can also find him on Facebook. Go to my Facebook page or the Balance Facebook page. You can find him. Just Google the Gary Snyder Show. Speaking of Google, those of you that are I Love Lucy fans, okay? Now, I grew up – now, I'm not giving out my age. I didn't grow up with I Love Lucy, okay? Let me make that very clear. I grew up when I Love Lucy was popular in the reruns. Of course, she still is. But she turns 100 years old today, and Google's got a pretty good tribute. If you just go to Google, just www.google, and check it out. They're doing the little I Love Lucy clips. It's pretty cool. And so check that out, to the Google page. Now, it's so exciting to be back here on Saturday morning. Josh, as we made the announcement earlier today, and for those of that did not hear it, we're going to be bringing The Balance live every Saturday morning right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can get it off of iTunes. You can also go to the website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Hit play and woohoo, we're there. It's like magic. And Josh, myself with $2 Bill Josh, we are moving into a shift change with The Balance where we're going to be basically changing the way that we do things a little bit here on The Balance. Again, same great show. We're still going to have the wrap-up. We're still going to be doing everything the same. What we are going to be doing is we are going to be having what we call focus points. And our focus points of the show is going to be the season that we're in. And we're moving into the fantasy football huddle and the Balance gridiron today. And that's exciting, exciting, exciting time. And what I tell you, it's exciting because it just allows us to spend more time with you, our quality fans, quality time with our fans. And I love doing that. It's just so nice. And just want to take a walk with my fans and have a nice chat. Josh, what do you think, buddy? Tell us what makes this new show so juicy. Give us the meat of the show.
Well, starting August 20th, it's going to be kind of the same show, but it's going to be totally different. Whereas now I'm kind of Tom's co-host. Starting August 20th, Tom's going to kind of switch over. We're going to play a game of musical chairs a little bit, and I'm going to move over to Tom's chair, and he's going to take mine. But this is my brainchild, my baby. We're going to debut on August 20th. After listening to our fans and sitting down, trying to figure out how we can make this show that much bigger and that much better, during the week, we're going to have a daily wrap-up. So we're going to talk your MLB, your NASCAR, your soccer, whatever sport you want to talk about. But on Saturdays, starting August 20th, from 9 until 11, it's going to be the Balance Gridiron. From 9 until 10 a.m., it's going to be nothing but college football. Talk about the highs in the top 25, who's hot, who's not, the Big Ten, the upset of the week. I might even try to get Tom to put on one of those little mascot heads. Okay, no, we're not going to see anybody's gimmick on this show. And then from 10 to 11, it's going to be fantasy football huddle and our picks.
That's right. And so exciting times that we have going on here at The Balance. We're so glad that you, our fan, could be a part of it. And at any time, if you guys want to jump in on the show when we're live here, give us a call, 917-889-8516. Always good to hear from you. So we're going into hour two here. So, Josh, you and I have been chasing race cars for the last month or so. So we're still going to be doing that. We've got The Balance Racing. One of the things that we want to point out is during this segment, typically, is when we would have Statman Steve with us, and we talk a little racing about what's going on. We do want to include Statman in our prayers. Statman is having some health problems. We believe that he could have had a heart attack. We're not exactly sure about that. So he's just going to kind of lay low for a while. So, Steve, we wish you the best of luck, and prayers go up to you and your family. And whenever you get better, you know you're welcome here. But in the meantime, we move forward with The Balance and racing and what's going on. So we've got a lot of exciting races this weekend, Josh. let's talk a little bit about IndyCar. What's going on over there in IndyCar? And then we're just going to phase through IndyCar, USAC, and some of all the different races that are going on. But the two big races that are going on is out there in Ohio. And the Balance was actually going to be there this weekend, but that just didn't come together as we had planned. So we've got the IndyCar out there in Ohio. We've got NASCAR's out there in Pocono. So, Josh, where are we at? Now, we had a great time out at Brickyard last week. I mean, a fantastic time. And we always like to do this. We work so hard covering these events that we like to just spend some time with the fans and just kind of really hang out with them. And that's what we did on Brickyard. We had a great time. We hung out with some great people from Chicago. Hopefully they're listening to the show today. So Josh, what'd you think about the Brickyard?
I thought it was an absolutely outstanding race. This year you saw a lot of things you haven't seen in the years past. There typically hasn't been a whole lot of passing. This year there was a decent amount of passing. It was one of the fastest moving Brickyards of all time. There weren't that many cautions till near the end. What about Paul Menard, though? For 30 years, his dad tries to win at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He's always had a fast car in the month of May. He's never been consistent on race day. He sponsors his son's car. Coming into the day, you heard people talking about Gordon and Smoke and Johnson and Martin and Junior. Not one time did I hear anybody say they thought, I'm going to use a little bit of crows here. Somebody on the Balance said they thought Paul Menard would win, and it wasn't me.
Well, I tell you what, you know, not everybody can be gifted with the great talents that I have here on the Balance and the great inside information. You were even the dude with the scanner, man. You wouldn't even share the scanner. Actually, I take that back. You did share the scanner a little bit, but I tell you what, when you're out there in 100 degree heat, those scanner headphones, no thank you. It makes me sweat. I'm a fat boy, Josh. I mean, I'll tell you. But, yeah, it was a good time, and we had a good time. We also spent some time out there at Lucas Oil Raceway. And I know you spent some time with Statman Steve and over a couple of days out there at Lucas Oil Raceway. And so maybe if you could just kind of wrap up, I'll tell you what I've got to do real quickly. I've got to get a refill on coffee. So I'm going to let you just take the reins here so you can get some practice being the host for a little bit. And I will be right back. But, Josh, go ahead and let's break down – you know, the last weekend and what's coming up here. I'll be right back.
Well, on Thursday night, Ty Dillon, driving for Richard Childress Racing, who happens to be his grandfather, won the Arctic race out at Lucas Oil Raceway Park, and then there was two USAC events. And then Saturday night in the Truck Series, Austin Dillon had a great run. I believe he ended up fifth. He dominated most of the race. Timothy Peters came out of nowhere with about eight laps to go and put the number 17 truck in victory lane. Then on Saturday night, it was all the Ricky Stenhouse Jr. show for about 185 laps. There really wasn't any wrecks, so about 15 laps to go. And then Stephen Wallace and Michael Annette and Justin Allgaier and Elliot Sadler were all involved in incidents in the last 15 laps. Brad Keselowski came home, put the number 22 machine in victory lane, and what was the 30th annual. Also, sadly, the last annual Kroger 200. And I had never seen a Nationwide Series race before last Saturday, and I went out there, and, you know, I had media credentials, and it's cool. You know, walking down pit road, and you get to talk to all the drivers. Got to talk to Keselowski and Stenhouse and Trevor Bayne and a whole bunch of other drivers, Jennifer Jo Cobb and the Green Brothers, and front row Joe Nemechek. And to see a side of NASCAR that you don't typically get to see even when you're sitting at home and you're watching on TV. Not true, we cover the races even when they're not in town. But typically, me and Tom don't get to walk around and talk to Mark Martin and all those cool drivers, so that was cool. And then Saturday night, it was hot, humid, overcast. And they dropped the green flag on the Nationwide Kroger 200, and I'm not quite sure what to expect. I've never been there before for the Nationwide Series. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. got off to a great start. Look, he had half the field lap by the 30th lap. he was just dominating. He went into the pits. He came out first. A couple times he went into the pits. He came out fifth. Took a four laps to get back up to first. He had the number six car rolling last Saturday. But alas,
okay.
But it wasn't his night, as Lady Luck gave the win to Brad Keselowski.
That's right. It was a great race, and I tell you what, nothing really happened in that race until the very end, and so that was really an exciting time to watch. When we get back, though, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're gonna really break down the IndyCar race out there in Ohio and the Pocono race coming up right here this weekend with NASCAR. Guys, it is so good to have you on board here on The Balance. I tell you what, it's just an exciting time. And we'll talk more about the changes that the Balance has got going on when we get back right here on The Balance on Blog Talk Radio on Saturday morning.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Saturday morning cartoons. Just want to grab your bowl of Cheerios, Corn Flakes, or what have you, Cocoa Puffs, and a bowl and then chocolate milk. Remember the days, Josh, when you could just sit around on Saturday morning, drink chocolate milk, and eat cereal? Do you remember those days? Watch cartoons?
I do remember those days. I'm still young enough that occasionally I still kind of do that.
You know what? I must admit, I still enjoy a good glass of chocolate milk. Absolutely. My wife buys me chocolate milk all the time. So, I mean, hey, you know what? It's all good. And what else is good? I'll tell you what's good. Right here, The Balance is back on Saturday morning. And we are talking racing. We've got a lot of exciting stuff that's going on. Of course, today on the Speed Channel, you can check out the practice for the Pocono race. I think it's today at noon. No, I'm sorry. That was yesterday at noon. I apologize. I got to learn how to read websites, Josh. I'm going to tell you. Qualifying today at 10:30 on ESPN2 and for the Pocono race tomorrow. So Josh, like we just talked about, we saw a great race out here in Indianapolis with the Brickyard. Pocono is here, okay? We've got a good race in short. Carl Edwards is right there in the mix. Josh, have you had a chance to break down this Pocono race at all?
Yes, I've had a great chance to break down Pocono. It's my favorite track in the world. It's my favorite track in the world. It's the only track in the world that is a triangle. You have road courses, you have street courses, you have ovals, you have short tracks. But it's the only track in the world that's an oval. Denny Hamlin has always been strong at Pocono. He's won there three times. Gordon's always strong. Johnson's strong. But I'm going to tell you what, we may not be doing picks right now. But before Tom can burn me for a second straight week, I'm picking Paul Menard to win at Pocono.
Well, that's good, because I wasn't going to pick Paul Menard to win at Pocono. But, yeah, we'll get into our picks here in just a minute. But so Pocono is a triangle. And those of you that follow racing know what a complicated different complications the tracks have. Tell us a little bit about what's the difference, Josh, between what makes a triangle track so special?
Well, in most circle or oval tracks, you have two straightaways and four turns. At Pocono, you have three straightaways, and you basically have really three turns, kind of maybe a fourth turn, depending on the one front stretch, whether you want to consider that a turn or not. But you have three long front stretches, which means there'll be a lot more pass, because when you're on the straightaway, you're on the gas, and you get into the corner, you have to back off. Although a lot of passes seem to happen in the corner, most of it's on the straightaway. So I look for it to be a high pass rate, good 20, 30, 40 lead changes. It also puts a lot of pressure on your engine being on the gas pedal the whole time.
Right, and I tell you what, I like Pocono myself. It's a great opportunity to just see some good old-fashioned good boy racing. And Pocono has always been a great track to watch, right up there with Bristol and, you know, some of the other great races that happen every year in NASCAR. Talladega, Bristol, Indy, Pocono, those are all key races. Daytona, obviously, that NASCAR goes through. And I tell you, another good driver to watch out there is Denny Hamlin. Hamlin's average best start is one of the top in the 2.5 triangle. You know, before last weekend's Sprint Cup race here in Indianapolis, Josh, he's right on the bubble, and he said him and his team basically had seven more weeks to hone themselves into a playoff-caliber team. Denny Hamlin has always been there, so I look for some great things from Denny Hamlin this weekend as well. So, you know, I don't know necessarily that I'd pick him to win, but, you know, certainly we got to look at Paul Menard again, David Ragan, and Brad Keselowski. And, of course, J.J. J.J. was right there. I mean, let's face it, Josh, and I know he's your driver, but let's face it, Jimmy Johnson is really the real deal when it comes to racing, and he does very well there in Pocono. So you're right, it's going to be an extremely good race this weekend in the Poconos for NASCAR. Josh, real quickly, let's break down some last-minute thoughts for Pocono. Let's get our picks in. Let's move over to IndyCar.
Well, unfortunately, tomorrow I have prior engagement, so Tom's going to have to keep me updated on the Pocono race via text.
You say you're getting engaged tomorrow?
Well, no, I am going on a date to see Cirque du Soleil, though. So Tom's going to have to keep me updated via text message on what's going on at Pocono. But I look for Paul Menard to finish first. And I want to say it's going to be a repeat of the Brickyard. But Jeff Gordon, again, trying to get around Paul Menard and falling just short.
And you're right. I think it's going to be a great, great race. I actually look for David Ragan to win this race. I just think that he has all the potential to do that. I've watched him qualify. I watched him hit the pole there at the Brickyard. I like him. He's got a good car. He's got a good team. I don't see any reason why David Ragan cannot win this race. So that's my pick. So let's move on over to IndyCar out there in Ohio. Josh, what's going on with that race?
Well, what's going on with that race is it's now official. And you're going to start hearing about it more and more. It's official. She's gone. The queen.
I knew you were going to bring it up. I tried to get through the whole show without mentioning her name, and you had to do it. You're the one who had to be the spoiler. Yes, we know. She's gone. Yay. No, just go ahead, Josh.
the Queen has left the building. I can't really call her Elvis because Elvis is the man in well. Danica Patrick can drive, but she only has one win. So I think this whole leaving is getting overhyped. I think Simona's a far better driver, and I look for her to start proving a point to Danica on Danica's way out at IndyCar. I'm better than you. I've always been better than you, and I always will be better than you.
Well, I tell you what. Here's the thing. I guess you can. We can get into the Danica controversial subjects at any time. But bottom line is, she does sell merchandise. She has a lot of fan base. You know, so I think she's kind of snubbing her nose at their fans. Let's face it, NASCAR fans and IndyCar fans aren't the same fans. There are a lot of fans. They're both great fans. But for the most part, NASCAR fans and IndyCar fans are two different type of fans. And she's basically snubbing her nose at IndyCar, going over there to the Nationwide Series, where she's going to be running full-time and part-time over there. And now, I do understand that she'll be back for one of the NASCAR races that she'll run is here in Indy. So, okay, Danica fans, if you want to see her here in Indy, then yes, you'll still have that opportunity. Different car, going to be driving a lot slower. So maybe now, Josh, she has an opportunity to win because she won't be driving as fast. Guys, we want to give you get your comments. We've got about 30 minutes left in the balance here, 917-889-8516. The IndyCars are out there in Lexington, Ohio, for the Indy 200 out there in Ohio, and I know Scott Dixon's right there. You know, he's ran 21 laps, and Will Power's right there. Graham Rahal, those are all both laps that are there. His best lap is 1.09.3124 in lap number 16. So it's going to be a good race out there in Ohio. Josh, have you had a chance to break down the Ohio race out there with IndyCar?
I have had a chance to break it down. It is my favorite IndyCar road course just because it's in Ohio, although I thought Lexington was in Kentucky. Maybe I need to go back to school and restudy geography.
Are we going to hear this every week? Okay, Josh, let's break down the race. Yeah, that's my favorite racetrack. Go ahead, Joshua. Break it down for us, buddy.
Mid-Ohio's a road course, but it's not like the road courses you see in Brazil or at Barber in Alabama. You can't actually pass on those road courses. There is some decent viewing. It's a great place to watch a race. Here's what I'm most interested to see. IndyCar has came down on several drivers, Graham Rahal and others, for blocking. They've told them they've had enough of it. They're fed up with it. And if drivers won't stop themselves, they will start throwing black flags, taking cars off the track, putting people on suspension for reckless driving. Mm-hmm. And that's all fine and dandy. Here's my question. So if you can't have people block, shouldn't we also take the field fillers off the track? If we want to make this a safe race, if the pollster is going 225 and the field filler is going 219, shouldn't we take him off the track?
I don't know. I totally agree with you on that, Josh, but I mean – IndyCar is different. They're very, very cliquish. And not that that's wrong per se, but I tell you what works for some people, what they'll do, what kind of sanctions and what kind of things they'll do for some people, they won't do for others. And I know that people don't like to hear that, but it's true. It absolutely is true. So, you know, I tell you what, go to IndyCar.com. You can check out all the happenings right now out there in practice out there in Ohio. Again, Dario Franchitti with Chip Ganassi is a good person to watch in this race. I like him a lot. I've liked him race all year long. He's got some key wins together. Really, he's kind of my pick to win for this race. Josh, who's your pick to win in the IndyCar race?
Well, I didn't pick the Shriver to win the Indianapolis 500, and it's been a while. It took me a while to get warmed up to the Shriver, but J.R. Hildebrand, who I know Tom knows very well, and actually they recognize each other immediately. I think they're on a first-name basis, which is kind of cool. But I think J.R. Hildebrand, this is a perfect track for him. I think he really, really wants this win. And if not Hildebrand, you know Graham Rahal wants to win in Ohio because he's from the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Grand Marais Hall will have a good race this year. And like I said, you know, Ohio is a good track. He has a lot of fan base there in Ohio. And you know, I like Lexington, Ohio track. It's a good track. It's a good fun. It's a good fun. And I like catching up with all of those guys. I enjoy covering racing a lot, especially IndyCar. And I've made a lot of friends in both the IndyCar and Indy Lights races. So it's more of a personal thing for me to cover as well. But, you know, I wish that I could have made it out there to Ohio today. But basically, I think that this is a good course. I just don't know that he has everything to make it happen this weekend. But they started practicing at about 9:30, which, well, they're probably over by now. They were doing – well, I think they were going up to qualifying at 12:55, so I'm not sure as far as where all the practice are. But Grand Marais Hall did top the timesheet in the initial practice. You know, like I said, he does have a good car, and we'll see what happens. Well, Josh, any last thoughts on any racing whatsoever? We got to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to take an open topic for the last half hour. We want to talk about what you want to talk about. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're going to talk a little bit about the up-and-coming New Balance Gridiron. We're also going to talk some more coach football. We're going to really kind of just mix the stew all up and kind of just touch on just about anything. And I know that the Indianapolis Indians has a big player coming in town tonight that's going to be there tonight from the Pittsburgh Pirates. We're going to talk a little bit about the Indianapolis Indians. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL, some AAA baseball. And really, we're just going to mix the soup up a little bit. So whatever you want to talk about, give us a call. And when we get right back, we're going to go into our last segment of The Balance on Saturday morning on Blog Talk Radio.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Saturday morning, doing this thing that we call The Balance every Saturday morning. Now, we've got kind of a change coming up, and we've been talking about it here on the show, and we're going to be just switching the way we kind of present things. Still going to be the same great balance that you've heard and gotten used to and loved. Yes, we are still here. We're just kind of mixing things up a little bit. Josh, I know you're really excited about this. You're actually giving birth to a new baby. What is it, Josh? Tell us quickly, boy or girl?
Boy.
All right, go ahead. You've always wanted a son, so how you're bringing your son into the world. What's going on? What's his name? What are we doing with him?
Well, it's the Balance Gridiron. First of all, before we get too into this, we're still going to cover MLB, NASCAR, NBA, if there ever is an NBA again.
That's right, but absolutely. We're not going anywhere. Go ahead, Josh.
We're just going to cover those sports Monday to Friday on the daily wrap-up, with the exception of Wednesday. Wednesday always has been and always will be our show prep day. So you're going to have to listen to an archive episode, or we'll post something on the blog on Wednesday. Maybe we'll make Wednesday our new blog posting day.
That's right. Wednesday's blog posting day. Hump Day blog. Hey, and it is
but
so good to have you guys on.
It's all football on Saturday morning from 9 to 11. From 9 to 10 is going to be college football. We're going to talk weekly Heisman favorites, people who've dropped out of the Heisman race, top 25, who's in, who's that shouldn't be, who's not in that should be. We're going to reveal our weekly top 25. We're going to talk about the Big Ten, IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, who's hot in college football, who's not. Preview that week's must-see game. It's something I'm really excited about. We're going to be going to a lot of Purdue and IU games. I think we even have a visit to Irish Stadium, if that's what they call it. I know that's a stadium that has Touchdown Jesus to see a game. And then from 10 to 11, it's back. Me and Tom are known for Fantasy Football Huddle. And this year it's bigger and better than ever. The only correction I would like to make, this year we're not going to B-dubs for our draft party. We're actually...
Oh, we're not. Okay.
We're going to Suitors for our draft party. As they have agreed to match us,
okay.
We ordered 10 chicken wings. They're going to give us 10 free. They're going to give us a free draft kit.
Free
they're making a whole big... They're making a whole big production out of it.
All right. Well, I tell you what, I'm all for free chicken wings at Hooters. So we're going to be doing our fantasy draft party at Hooters as opposed to – thanks for letting me know that, Josh. I would have just shown up at BW3's. Where's everybody at? Nobody like me anymore. What the heck? Oh, boys, we got us some wings. Actually, seriously, we do want you guys to be a part of the balanced fantasy football league. We have so much fun every year. A lot of smack talk going on. I mean, we really get into it. And so we're going to, as part of the fantasy football huddle that Josh mentioned, we're going to actually give you the opportunity to be on the air. Give us your breakdown. Just like, you know, it would be in real football. We have the opportunity to talk about your team. Talk about the decisions that you made. Why you made those decisions. What kind of decisions that you're going to make. That's all part of the fantasy football huddle. So if you want to be involved in that, we'd love to have you. Go to our Facebook page, The Balance. We'll have a sign up on there here in just probably a week or so, and we'll also have something on the website. We'll have every possible avenue in which you can connect for us. I think we're going to cap it out at like 14 teams, so we've already got two. So we only have a limited amount of space. It's $20 buy-in, and we'll make sure that we get into that. Now, Josh, Indianapolis Indians are in town tonight, and they're against the Toledo Mud Hens. Now, the Toledo Mud Hens, again, feed into the Detroit Tigers, which is number one in their division. And then you've got the Indianapolis Indians, which is the AAA farm team for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, we know, and we talked about it here on the show, the Pittsburgh Pirates have been doing very well. And I contribute a lot of how well these teams are developing is through their farm system. So if you get a chance, if you're in the Indianapolis area, go out there and check out the Indianapolis Indians. Now, tonight, they actually have a special guest there, do they not, Josh?
They have Indians outfielder Jose Tabata is in town. He was with the Indianapolis Indians last year and a little bit of the year before that. He went up to the big leagues. He's having a solid big league career. He's not an all-star. He's not a superstar. Although, being fair, a lot of the MLB superstars who think they're superstars really aren't superstars. I would say there's really only five superstars in MLB baseball. But he's a solid player. He's in town to try to get healthy again, try to get in shape maybe, which is what me and Tom are getting ready to start doing. We're talking to you about that next week, though. But
and,
it should be an exciting time.
Also, outfielder Jose Tabata of the Pirates will be there tonight as well. So you've got two major league players that will be there tonight and during a major league rehabilitation game, and so trying to get into some better shape. So It's a good night to go out there to the Indianapolis Indians and check them out. Now, Josh, you and I follow the Indians quite a lot. So if you could kind of just tell us a little bit about how the Indianapolis Indians have been this year and how they look on the big board in the big scheme of things.
Well, they're all the way up to second in their division, although they cannot catch the Columbus Clippers. Columbus would basically have to lose. Well, they would have to lose every game the rest of the season, and the Indians would have to go undefeated the rest of the season. And then that would be just the tie. Then they'd have to be a playoff game to decide the division winner. So that's not going to happen for the Indians. But it's not an accomplishment. They started 2-9. They're up to second place in the division. They're 5 games over .500. They're the best bargain for your dollar in town as far as the pro sports team go. I think you can sit in the outfield for $9, hang out with the wife and kids. Great evening at the ballpark. They have a lot of promising young talent. Now,
right.
A lot of what's done in the Pittsburgh Pirates is the Indians.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely 100% right. And if you want to leave the kids at home or you just want to grab your buddy, go out there to Captain Morgan's Cove. Captain Morgan's Cove, guys, I'm going to tell you what, it's nothing better in minor league baseball out there than the deal with Captain Morgan's Cove. $30 gets you in, gets you a ticket, plus free alcohol, boys. You got to be 21 or older, so you got to leave the kids at home. But it's a great time. And so going out there to Victory Field, Josh, I didn't mean to cut you off there. So you're right. Now, what else is going on around the AAA? What other teams? Obviously, we know about the Columbus Clippers. We know about what are some of the other teams out there in the AAA, and how are they doing?
Well, there's the Pawtucket Red Sox, who I follow as a member of the Red Sox, and they're having a decent year. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to make it into the playoffs, but they're having a decent year. And as we talked about here before on the balance, whereas the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, I think I named all the major sports, they're all about making the playoffs and winning championships. Now, true, there's a AAA playoff, and there's a AAA championship, and there's a AAA World Series. And those are all great things to win. The Indians have won AAA World Series plenty of times. But at the end of the day, it's not about winning championships. It's about developing character, developing talent, and teaching these young kids, who are a lot of players in the minors are 18, 19, 20 years old, how to be adults. It's more a developmental league than a actual let's see who can win the championship. Would you agree, Tom?
No, I absolutely. And that's one of the things that I love so much about baseball. And that's one of the things, going back to what we talked about here at the beginning of the show, is this whole A-Rod cluster, you know, what's going on there. Here's the thing. The purpose of this developmental league is to develop young players, to teach them to be good baseball players and good ambassadors of the game of baseball. Now, the lessons that they learn here in Indianapolis Indians and in the Columbus Clippers and the Toledo Mudhens and all the other teams are lessons that they carry throughout their career in the MLB. It's not just about, they need to get the call up to the bigs. But this is a good opportunity for these young players to develop into great players. And what is sad about this whole A-Rod thing is he really is one of the great players. He's the Tiger Woods of baseball. I mean, he's the Peyton Manning of baseball. You can use all the metaphors that you want, but the one metaphor that's coming up that I mentioned here in the show, in a joking way, but I'm very, very serious about it, he has now become the Lindsay Lohan of baseball, which is not the reputation that you want. So you're right. This developmental league does just that, and hopefully, one would hope, develops their skills and hones them in a much better and greater way than what A-Rod has planned out to be. Now, is that AAA's fault? No, it's just his own stupidity. And I'm really done talking about A-Rod. It's just a situation where baseball doesn't need any more negative press, any more bad. This is a good year for baseball all the way around. And, you know, you can say, oh, it's just because of the NFL lockout. Well, it is what it is. Fans are following baseball. Fans are getting back to the ballpark. Fans are watching the games, and fans are doing just that. They're spending money at Major League ballparks. And let's face it, at the end of the day, the fans are what pays the salaries for people like A-Rod and so forth. So if the fans didn't ever go to ball games, the owners would not have the money to pay A-Rod the kind of money that he has. So what my saying is, when these athletes get these big contracts, with great power comes great responsibility. It's pretty simple. Well, great power, Brett Favre. We talked about that a little bit today. We all agree. I think we all agree that he should retire. Should stay retired. According to all the mainstream media out there, Brett Favre is staying retired. Josh, I guess he squashed any rumors about saying, "Hey, I'm going to go with the Dolphins." Yesterday he came out and said that he told the Miami Herald, "There is no more comebacks. I am not Captain Comeback. I am done. I'm enjoying spending time at home with my family." And that might be the case. And you know, when you get a player like Brett Favre, who's been one of the greatest around, it's hard to say, "Stop playing, Brett. Stay home." Yeah, I think we'll see him up in the broadcast booth or something. That's just my feeling. But you know, and the Dolphins did sign veteran quarterback Kevin O'Connell on Friday, and they also include Chad Henne and Matt Moore and Pat Delvin. So I don't even know that even if Brett wanted to come back, Josh, if there's a place in the Dolphin organization for him anyway. So I don't know that. I think he's right on that. He's not going to be a Dolphin. I don't think he's going to be a Dolphin at all. So. And maybe he'll do a Vinny Testaverde where he'll show up, you know, for a few games and be done with it. But I think our days with Brett Favre are done, Josh.
I would agree. I do think if he came out of retirement, he's better than all four of those quarterbacks in Miami put together. But here's when we're going to know. Maybe he doesn't want to go to training camp. Maybe he is planning to unretire. I don't think you'll really know that Brett Favre is serious until we get to week six. And he's had to sit at home and watch 5 weeks of football, see all the guys having fun on the field. But here's the thing about Brett Favre. If Brett Favre does unretire, he's not unretiring for the money. He's not unretiring because he has anything left to prove. If he unretires, it's for one simple reason. The locker room, hanging out with your buddies, the camaraderie. There's nothing else like that in the world. Now that he's done with football, he cannot experience that feeling anywhere else. If he unretires, that's the reason why.
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, I'm not saying that his motivational reasons for coming back are bad. I'm just saying that it's time for him to retire. And there's going to come a time when we're probably going to have the same conversation about Peyton Manning. But I just don't see, again, that's just my opinion, that could all change, you know, for the same reasons that changed with Brett Favre. I don't see him coming back when he's done. And as we talked about earlier with Gary Snyder, we're looking at probably, you know, 2.5 years of Peyton Manning. That's a logical assumption. And so we're probably looking at here in the next year or so to bring in a quarterback that needs to be groomed and trained. And let's face it, Peyton Manning is going to train his own heir to the throne, and he's going to have a lot to say. He's going to come in and take his place. I kind of think that Brett Favre was that way with Aaron Rodgers. I think Brett Favre knew he was done and knew he was getting close to being done with the Green Bay Packers, and they brought in Aaron Rodgers. I think that he mentored Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't know. Again, this is the things that I know for a fact. I just think that it's the same situation we'll see. We'll see another great quarterback appear here in Indianapolis. Josh, now speaking of great quarterbacks, what about out there in Denver, Tim Tebow? Now, according to some of the things that he said to a Denver newspaper reporter, is that he wants to earn his starting job with the Denver Broncos. My question to you, Josh, is this still Tim Tebow's team?
I think it is Tim Tebow's team. Now, a lot of the players want Kyle Orton to start, and John Fox wants Kyle Orton to start. But at the end of the day, John Elway is running the Denver Broncos. They're basically his team. He doesn't own it, but for all intents and purposes, he's the CEO, the COO. He's the big guy. he likes Tim Tebow. So you would have to assume that if all things are equal, if he wants Tim Tebow to start, who's going to tell John Elway no?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it is John Elway's team for all intents and purposes. And like you said, Coach John Fox likes him. But what about Brady Quinn in the mix? I mean, he's not a bad quarterback either.
I don't really see Brady Quinn getting into the mix. He kind of had his chance at Cleveland, and he proved he wasn't maybe NFL ready. He's a permanent backup in the NFL. But that'll be an interesting storyline to watch. The one I'm most interested to watch is, if Vic has a couple of bad games, are Eagles fans going to cry for Vince Young?
Do what now, Josh? I'm sorry, you cut out right there at the bottom there.
I said the quarterback controversy I'm most interested to watching is if Michael Vick has a couple of bad games, are Eagles fans going to scream to put Vince Young in the game?
Absolutely. without a doubt. And here's the thing. Michael Vick, let's face it, I think that he's a great quarterback. But I think you're right. That's Philadelphia. That's Vince Young. You've got Michael Vick and Vince Young on the same team in a team like Philadelphia. Absolutely. If Michael Vick has some bad games, absolutely. Here's what you're going to hear. Vince Young. Vince Young is the highest paid quarterback to never do anything in the NFL, if you want my opinion. So I don't know that they'll listen and bring Vince Young in, but Vince Young, let's face it, he's a great quarterback, and he has a lot of potential. But I'm curious to see how well Philadelphia can do with their defense. I mean, and how they can, and of course their secondary, and also how they can block for Vic and Young. Who's on the line that's really going to make that happen?
Well, speaking of the Eagles' secondary, they just signed Nnamdi Asamoah, I'm not quite sure how his last name is pronounced.
We'll go with Ass.
to play corner, and they also already had a loaded secondary. I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl over the New England Patriots. I think they're the two best teams in football. The Eagles are loaded on offense. They're loaded on defense. But, Tom, at the end of the day...
So are you trying to tell me that we're going to see the New England Patriots here at Indianapolis playing for the Super Bowl? No. Come on. Is that what you're saying?
Unfortunately, I think it may turn out to be that way. But here's the great thing about football. There's preseason paper champions who quite often the team that people say will reach the Super Bowl. Last year being an example. Everybody thought Dallas Cowboys would win the Super Bowl last year. They didn't even make the playoffs. They didn't even have a winning record last year. So a lot of times the preseason Super Bowl pick has a horrible season. Will that happen this year? Maybe.
Yeah, and I think you're right. That's the great thing about football. I mean, that's absolutely the great thing about football because you can never predict injuries. You can never predict how things are going to play out. You can never predict on – that's what makes football – a lot different than some of the other players. Like baseball, basketball, NBA, you could almost predict what's going to happen in that game. Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, you can almost predict. But there are so many different variables in football that really make it difficult to make these preseason predictions. And that's all we're doing right now. We're making preseason predictions. We're talking about what could happen, what might happen. But I can tell you one thing that is going to happen is coming August 20th, the brand new Balance Gridiron Today, and we are going to spend 2 hours every Saturday talking gridiron, talking football. We are your armchair quarterbacks. Myself and $2 Bill Josh will bring you up to date the injury reports, the scouting reports. We're basically going to be your college football connection, your NFL football connection. Josh, we got 1 minute left. The 1 minute timeout is yours. Make it happen, buddy, quickly.
Next Saturday at will be, I guess, the end of an era. As at the end of next Saturday show, me and Tom are going to switch spots. He'll kind of become my co-host as we move in to the gridiron, so he'll have a little less responsibilities with trying to do the sound of both the guest to co-host the show and all. I'm going to take a little bit of the responsibility away from him to simplify his job just a little bit.
All right. Well, that's it, guys. August 20th. Now, let's make one thing clear. I am still the host of The Balance, and we're still doing the wrap-up. But because of so much responsibility with such a huge show as far as booking guests, getting credentials, and a lot of stuff that I have to do behind the scenes, as well as host the show full-time, it just becomes a little enormous. So Josh is going to step into that role. Now, keep in mind, we're really kind of going to be equal hosts. And we're going to kind of do this thing together. And we're learning as we go as well. So we want to make sure that we hear your comments. Yeah, just send us a comment at comments@thebalanceonline.com. Guys, we're out of here. We'll see you next week on The Balance on Blog.